I suppose that all of us would like for others to say that they're pleased with us. It always helps me when you tell me that you're pleased with me. I like for my family to at least reflect the attitude that they're pleased with most of the things that I do. And I think they like for me to be pleased with what they do. But even more important than my family and your family and me and one another being pleased with one another, it's vastly more important that God be pleased with us. This morning we are studying from the book of Hebrews, but we are studying about a man with whom God was well pleased. And in these verses of Scripture that we'll be studying, God in His infinite mercy and kindness to me and you tells us how we may please God. So this morning as we read the Word of God and as we look at it very closely, we can learn how Enoch pleased God. And as we learn how Enoch pleased God, we may learn also how that you and I can please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And as we have already studied, we understand how faith and how necessity calls upon us to have faith, because Paul wrote, "The just shall live by faith." And Habakkuk had already written, "The just shall live by faith." And if we live by faith, then we do not draw back. And this word draw back means we do not become timid. And I think it involves the idea of cowardly. That if we live in our lives by faith, we're bold. We don't fear what man shall do unto us. And because of this, we're not timid. We don't shrink back from doing the things that we know from the Word of God and from our own hearts we ought to do as children of God. And as we think of living this life of faith, we've already understood that it is the foundation of a successful life. It is also the evidence that we look at in order to know that we ought to continue living our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by it, the Bible tells us, the elders received a good report. From whom did they receive this good report? They received it from God. So faith is absolutely vital and essential to our living victoriously in this world for Almighty God. Then Paul gives many illustrations of this. We've already looked at one. We looked at Abel. And he is said to have offered a more acceptable offering to God because he offered it by faith. And by it he obtained witness from God that he was righteous. The word righteous means just in right standing with God. That he stood right in the sight of God, that he had been forgiven, that he had been accepted, and that God was pleased with him. Why? Because he had faith and did according to what God had taught him the things that he should do. This morning we've read in verse 5 that Enoch, notice, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And we see really the result of his faith before God describes to us his faith. So we're seeing the end before we see the introduction of Enoch and his life. A very bold statement. By faith, Enoch was translated. And that means to be transported or changed from one place to another. There are two words that we know about in our English language that mean change. One of them, metamorphos, means to change form. But this word, metathesis, means to change places. So, by faith, Enoch changed places. He was here on earth, but then because of God, Enoch changed places, and God did it. So he changed his place of residence from the earth to God's presence. And the Bible tells us that this was a reward that God gave to Enoch that he might not see death. Because of Enoch's faith, God rewarded him. And the reward that God gave him was that Enoch would not experience death. By faith, Enoch was transferred. Enoch had faith. He was transplanted from earth to heaven to avoid walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Most of us will get to heaven because we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But Enoch never walked that valley. God rewarded his faith and transported him from earth to heaven. And therefore, he didn't experience death. The Bible tells us that he was not found, and that word means to find by searching. So people looked for the body of Enoch, and they didn't find the body of Enoch. No doubt his family was quite upset because he had gone from the home on one day. He didn't return home. They searched for him, and they looked for him, and they never found his body and was not found. Because God had translated him. God had honored Enoch's faith and changed his residence from earth to heaven. Now he had this testimony. God didn't do it capriciously just because he decided that there was some peculiarity about Enoch that he appreciated or respected other than his faith. For before his translation, he, that is Enoch, had this testimony. We need to understand that Enoch had faith, and he had a testimony. And the testimony was not his testimony or God's testimony, for the word means witness, or rather others' testimony, but it was God's witness that he was well pleasing to God. This declaration, which confirms or makes a thing known, was stated by Almighty God. And God stated that Enoch is well pleasing to me. Now, in order for us to understand something of Enoch's life, let's turn back to the scriptures that Brother Pogue read a few minutes ago and look at them. Genesis, the 5th chapter. Genesis chapter 5, and we'll look at these scriptures that Brother Pogue read. First of all, we learn of Enoch that he walked with God. That's a fair common phrase, that he walked with God. But the idea is that he was on a journey with God. It doesn't mean that sometimes he walked with God, or that occasionally he and God met in some forest where the sun was shining and little trails led through valleys filled with flowers, and that God had Enoch, and Enoch was holding up his little hand, and God and Enoch walked along and sort of conversed and shared the beauty of the earth a few minutes occasionally. That might make a good Sunday school lesson for little children, but it's not the truth. The Truth is that from a child, Enoch had shared his journey's life or his life's journey with Almighty God. It was not an occasional time when they had fellowship and shared things, but it was an all-time, everyday sort of lifestyle that Enoch had. They literally journeyed together. Now, a walk with God involves three primary things and many, many other subsidiary things, but three primary things. And that is, in order for us to walk with God, we must be on the same road or the same path. The scriptures ask the question, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And that means we agree about the path that we're going to walk. Since God never walks in the broad way, since God never walks in the evil way, and if we walk in the evil way, we're not walking with God, it means we're going to walk in what we sometimes call the straight and narrow, but what Jesus described as the narrow way. We're going to walk in the path of righteousness. That's the first essential. The second is that we go in the same direction. It's not as though we're going in one direction and God is going in the other direction, and that we meet occasionally as we journey down the road of life and occasionally pass one another and sort of wave to one another. If we're going to have the same testimony that we have walked with God, we must be on the same road. That is the Jesus road, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. We walk in the way of Jesus. We have to walk in the same direction. We have to walk the same pace. You know, sometimes people are not really compatible from the viewpoint of their legs, that is, from the length of them. And I suppose you remember the Lincoln Douglas debates from your American history classes when they chided Lincoln for his long legs and Douglas for his short legs, and they asked Lincoln, how long should a man's legs be? And he said, long enough to reach the ground. But you know, sometimes when you're walking with other people, you're ahead of them and you're looking back trying to carry on a conversation, and sometimes they're walking faster than you are and they're looking back and you're trying to hold a conversation. You know, you really want to walk with someone and enjoy a conversation, then you need to decide on the same pace. You need to decide on how long our steps are going to be so that we can look at one another and walk comfortably. Now, sometimes we're so anxious to get somewhere that we outstride God. We run ahead of God. And sometimes we lag behind God because our interests and our faith won't let us keep up with God. But what we really need to do is, after we've been born again, is to mature spiritually so that as mature people we can walk with God, stride right along with God, never ahead of God, never behind God, but always in step with God. Enoch walked with God, and he had this testimony. And he had the testimony before he ever walked with God. In Jude 14, there's a rather revealing statement about Enoch. And it is said that Enoch stated, when he saw the evil persons around him, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And some have said, well, that doesn't mean the Enoch of Genesis 5. That's another Enoch. But the Bible is very plain. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied. So Enoch was really well taught in the things of God. He was a prophet. He spoke the things of God. And when Enoch saw the evil around him, he spoke and said, one day the Lord will come back with thousands of his saints and take vengeance upon the evil inhabitants of the earth. So as a well-informed man, sometimes when we ask people to turn in their Bibles to the book of Genesis, they think, now we're going to look back into the ages when people were caveman-like in their intelligence. You see, the early days of man were his best days. Instead of being the best now, we're the worst now as far as our health is concerned, as far as our abilities are concerned. Because these people, Methuselah lived to be 960 years old, and Enoch lived to be a very old man. Noah lived to be a very old man. You say, well, how could these people live to be centuries old? Because all of the diseases and the viruses and things that attack us had not developed. And the dissipation that men involve themselves in had not occurred. You know, we talk about evolution. That is, that man gets better and better. But really, it's devolution. Man has been going down since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Our ability to live long periods of time has gone down. Our ability to risk disease has gone down. And I'm going to tell you something that you may not believe, but our mental powers have also degenerated. He said, well, they didn't have computers and things of that nature. But if you'll think, what we have today has not been a secret. Great men of God knew the vast amounts of knowledge. They were aware of it that we possess today. And much of what we possess was based in and has been based on antiquity. They could have known it. They just didn't have the manufacturing expertise. And maybe they knew better and didn't make it. And we talk about how machines have made our lives better, but can we really say that? He said, my life is so much better because of machinery. Well, I suppose that's true in the sense that it could be, but we become tyrannized by machinery. Let's not look at Enoch as some slope-browed, slope-headed, really thick-browed Neanderthal person who grunted and lived in a cave. He was an intelligent man who understood God's word and God's will, who spoke of things that would come to pass centuries later. Enoch was a good man. The Bible tells us that he pleased God, that God said, he pleases me. Now, how can we please God? Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. The word impossible means without power. So without faith, there's no power that we can generate that will help us to do the things we need to do in order to please God. So without faith, we are powerless. Without faith, we cannot accomplish what God wants us to accomplish and therefore please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, it is said of Enoch that he pleased God. There's not a single extraordinary exploit in the Bible that reveals that he slew thousands or leaped great rivers or diminished great mountains or anything of that nature. I sort of get the idea that here was a quiet man who knew his own soul and in his own patience possessed his own soul, who knew his God and in patience and faith walked with God from a young man until God took him at a very old age. He said, well, what great exploits did he do? See, that's what we think faith is. You know, removing mountains and building huge empires and by our drive and our faith, and we get them mixed up and confused and think they're the same thing. By our human ingenuity, we think that's faith. It's really not faith. It's really humanism. They don't extol the humanism of Enoch. They just say he was a man of faith. He didn't leap great rivers. He didn't walk dry shod through the Red Sea. He didn't slay lions. He didn't kill giants with slingshots. But he had faith. Without faith, it's impossible. That is, there's no power by which we can then do the things that please him. But apart from faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing with God. And I might say, without faith, it is impossible to walk with God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That is, that God exists. And that's faith. If you don't believe there's a God, you're not going to come to the God. If you don't believe there's a London, England, you're never going to buy a ticket and get on a plane and say, I'm going to London. If you don't believe there is a Paris, France, you're never going to get on a plane and say, I'm going to Paris. I've never been to India. But I bought tickets that said I would be transported by plane to India. And I bought those tickets and got on those planes, and I got to that place that I didn't know about except by hearing others talk about it. I'd never seen it, but my faith led me to believe that it was there, and so I did the things necessary to get there. He that cometh to God must believe that God is. That's the first premise of salvation. That's the first premise of walking with God, is to believe that God exists. He is. How do we believe that God is? By all the factoids? No. By all the demonstrations of nature? Not necessarily. By all the verses that are in the Bible? Not altogether. By faith. We believe that God is. And not only we believe that God is, but we're willing to come to God. To have enough faith. For he that cometh to God, that means to approach God, to come to God. We must believe that he is before we ever come to him. And we must believe also, and that word means to have faith, that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That which is necessary to make us well pleasing to God is faith. We must have the faith that initiates our steps toward God, in the sense that we believe he is, and we start our approach to God, we start our walk toward God, we start our move toward God, because God reaches out to us through the power of his Holy Spirit, through the teaching of his word. And the Bible tells us that in order to please God, we must not only believe that he exists, that is, believe in the existence of God, but we must believe that God pays in full. That's what the reward here means. That God pays in full. You know what that pays in full means? It means that he keeps all of his promises. I don't want to tell you about when I used to walk to school barefooted in the snow, uphill both ways. But I used to chop cotton, and sometimes started very young because people really needed help and you didn't really have too much choice, so he got paid half because you made half of a hand. Everyone else got $3 a day. I got $1.50 a day. But I remember hoeing for one particular person, and early in the morning as we started hoeing, he'd sort of mark off a place, and he'd say, "Now, if y'all will really work hard and we can hoe all these rows and get over this place, if we get through by 4 o'clock, then we'll go swimming." And you know how that struck boys. We'd work and work and work and work, and we'd get to the place he designated, and then he'd say, "But, well, we need to finish the rest of this. It may rain." Well, we just go ahead and finish. You know, we learned him. You know why? He never kept his promise to reward us. So we finally decided, hey, he wouldn't take us swimming no matter what. Well, now God's not that way. See, whatever God promises, he'll do, because it's impossible for God to lie. So when God tells us the reward of having faith, you can be sure that God will not only keep his word, but he'll go beyond anything that our hearts and our minds can imagine. If it's in the Bible, put it in the bank. It's true, and it will be someday brought to pass. Now, what he's saying is, if you and I are going to walk with God, if we're going to be men of faith, number one, we must believe that God is. Number two, we must come to God. Number three, we must believe that God is a rewarder. That is, that he pays in full, keeps his word, keeps everything he's ever said, every promise that he's ever made, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God seeks us, but men are to seek God. This means to search and to seek out. And that he, that is, by faith, we understand that God will reveal himself to those who sincerely look for him. I've had people say, well, I just really don't know much about God, preacher. I'm just kind of confused. Well, have you ever looked for him? Have you ever searched for him? Have you ever really put yourself into a circumstance of looking and searching and trying to find God? You say, well, I kind of know there is a God, but I've never really just gone all out to try to find God. Well, that's why you haven't found God. You say, well, how do you search for God? You search for God in his word. You search for God in his creation. You search for God in your own mind. You search for God in your heart. You search for God in your conscience. And you search for God in the lives of other people. Search for God, that is, look at the life of your parents, grandparents, a great-grandparent. Look to some Christian who walks with God, whom you have respect for, and search for God in their example, for it can be found. God can be found. God will be found. God wants to be found. But our faith must lead us to seek for him. Ye shall find me when ye shall seek for me with all your heart. So the word of God tells us. How to please God? Faith. He said, well, I don't have faith to leap over mountains, and I don't have faith to, you know, I'm just not a person of faith. Well, that's probably the least thing that faith is ever called upon to do. We'll see some men who had rather unusual exploits because of God speaking to them, but some didn't. We don't have to have it in order to walk with God. Get on the same path that God's on. Get on the same path that God's on. Walk in the same direction that God is walking, and set the same pace that God's walking. If you're walking too fast, just slow yourself down. Just slow yourself down. Have some patience. Walk the pace God walks. And if you're a little behind, fast, then quicken your paces a little. Catch up with God. Walk right alongside him, not behind, not in front, or you can just have conversation with him in a normal voice. You don't need to holler at him. God, if you're walking with God, you don't need to holler at him. You can just talk in a normal tone. God will hear you, and you'll hear God. Our musicians will come, and we'll stand and sing a hymn of invitation. This invitation hymn is simply this, that if you're here this morning and you're not walking with God and you want to walk with God, you have not trusted in Christ, you're not in the narrow way. Jesus said, I am the way. So if you want to be in the way, in the path of God, then you trust in Jesus Christ.